Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Tonight we're doing Light Fair. Yesterday we did a tribute to mothers for Mother's Day. And there was some real nice music on that show. So tonight we're going to jazz it up a little bit, and we're going to give you a little politics and a little music. Somebody sent me this, and I downloaded it, and I'm going to share it with you. It's called The Buffett Rule. Salary of retired U.S. presidents, 180 grand a year for life. Salary of House Senate members, 174,000 a year for life. This is stupid. Salary for Speaker of the House, 223,000 a year for life. This is really a stupid. Salary of the majority / minority leaders, 193,400 for life. Average salary of for a teacher, 40 grand. A deployed soldier, 38,000. I think we found where the cuts should be made. If you agree, pass it on. Warren Buffett in a recent interview with CNBC, against the communists, nothing but communists, offers one of the best quotes about the debt ceiling. I could end the deficit in 5 minutes, he told CNBC. You just pass a law that says, anytime there is a deficit of more than 3% of the gross domestic product, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election. The 26th Amendment granting the right to vote for 18-year-olds took only 3 months and 8 days to be ratified. Why? Simple. The people demanded it. That was in 1971, before computers, email, cell phones, etc. Or the 27 amendments to the Constitution. 7 took 1 year or less to become the law of the land, all because of public pressure. Warren Buffett is asking each addressee to forward this email to a minimum of 20 people. And that's how things get done. In 3 days, most people in the United States will have the message. The Congressional Reform Act of 2015. 1. No tenure, no pension. A congressman or woman collects a salary while in office and receives no pay when out of office. And they should be out in one term. One term per termite. That's my part. Congress, past, present, and future, participates in Social Security. All funds in the Congressional Retirement Fund move to the Social Security system immediately. That's very good. All future funds flow into the Social Security system, and Congress participates with the American people and put an end to insider trading and put anybody that's still doing it in jail. Congress can purchase their own retirement plan just as all Americans do. 4. Congress will no longer vote themselves a pay raise. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of CPI or 3%. Congress loses their current health care system and participates in the same crap we got. Obama crap. Congress loses. Okay, Congress must equally abide by all laws they impose on the American people. I'll go one step further. If a guy is convicted of murder, not only does he get the death penalty, but his attorney gets it too. And the death penalty for first-time marijuana use. Oh, I know. In 2 weeks, half the country will be gone. All contracts with past and present congressmen are void, definitely. And no. You know that guy that did the expose on Hillary and her $1.8 billion in the slush fund? Yeah, he also did a book before this one called Throw Them All Out. And he lists all of the shenanigans and how much money they pocket, taking advantage of insider trading. And one of the big players was John Kerry, because he had his wife's money to play with. Plus, he's got his own allowance. Yeah, and he sat in on Obamacare plans, and he got a list of all of the medicine companies were going to be dropped, and he went out and sold them all short before it was announced publicly. Now that's a criminal act, but of course, if you're a congressman, you're not a criminal. Yeah. So that's how you fix Congress. And that's the name of that tune. And now we're going to give you a tune. We'll give you Fantasy. With Maynard Ferguson. Okay, I got some paperwork I saved, and I found it again. And I'm just going to give you a little insight into what your Congress does and why I call the Democrat Party the Party de la Muerte, the Party of Death. U.S. Senate roll call votes, 108th Congress, first session. Statement of purpose: to express the sense of the Senate concerning the decision of the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade. Okay. They want an amendment to the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. They want to stop killing kids by tearing them apart, stabbing them in the head as they exit the Freedom Canal. Okay, so 52 senators voted, let's not kill the kids in the womb or coming out. 46 said, let's kill them. And 2 didn't vote. So that's the 100. The whole 100 voted. Would you like to know who voted to kill kids? Do you like to know who voted to burn the flag? 80% of all flag burners are baby killers. So let me see if I can give you the list. Here we go. I'm going to give you the nays that said, oh, continue to kill them. Yes, it's good. They're only fetuses. They're only a little tissue. Alexander, Republican from Tennessee. Allard, Republican from Colorado. Allen, Republican from Virginia. Bennett, those Republicans you see there, I bet you they're all rhinos. They're definitely Democrats in training. Bennett, Republican from Utah. Bond, Republican from Missouri. Bro, Democrat from Louisiana. Brownback, Republican from Kansas. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong list. It's 52 that said kill him. It's 46 that said save him. So the killers outweighed the innocent. Oh, yeah, I should have known that right away, because the first guy up is a war hero, and he votes to burn the flag, and he votes to kill kids. I think he's now in purgatory. Senator Akaka from Hawaii. Baucus, Democrat from Montana. Bai, a Democrat from Indiana. That guy looks so slick. He is. You look at him, he looks like a real homeboy, you know? He looks like he's a Bula Bula fella. But he voted to burn the flag, and he votes to kill kids. Bingaman, from a Democrat from New Mexico. Barbara Boxhead, from California. You know what she did one day? She was sitting up on the look down on the people bench, and she asked the general, a combat general, a question, and he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, don't you ever call me ma'am. I earned my title. I'm a senator. And I said to myself, that guy's got a lot of patience. Because if I was sitting in his chair, I said, oh, my apologies. Let me call you by your title. Yo, bitch. Boxer. Bird from West Virginia. He's gone. Now, he was the head of the Klan for the Democrat Party. He would get up on the Senate floor and use the N-word, and all the Democrats would applaud. Yeah. But if a Republican said colored, they would call him a racist. Campbell, a Republican from Colorado. Colorado's not well. Cantwell, I call a can-do-well. Democrat from Washington. Carper from Delaware. Flag burner and a baby killer. Chaffee from Rhode Island. He went on to become governor of that sick state. And you know what the first thing he did when he came into office? He outlawed Christmas trees. Clinton. Hillary, $1.8 billion. I don't know what how much money my brother got, because we didn't count his share. Collins from Maine, Susan Collins. I call her and the other one, Olympia Snowjob. They are the Cauldron Sisters. They're in Macbeth. A Conrad, a Democrat from North Dakota. Corzine, you know, Corzine, he went on to become, he started his own financial company, and he lost $1 billion, and they said, what did you do with the money? He said, money all gone. And he clapped his hands like he was like a pit boss in a casino. Money all gone. Yeah, he was a big Clinton contributor to the libraries. Dashiell, South Dakota. He was an evil guy, man. An evil guy. Dayton from Minnesota. Dodd from Connecticut. Him and Ted Kennedy sandwiched the waitress, you know, when they were filling their oats. Yeah, pride of the nation. Dorgan from a Democrat from North Dakota. Durbin, this guy, if he could do it, he would kill the entire Marine Corps. He calls them all terrorists. Edwards, this is a lover boy. This is the man. You ever hear the song by Tammy Wynette, "Stand by Your Man"? He has a different version. It's called "Stand on Your Woman." And drag her around during the campaign, even though she's dying. How's that? You know where this guy's going to be? This guy is going to be in Dante's Inferno. And you know what Dante says is the lowest level of hell? It's reserved for those who betray a trust. Russell Feingold, that's John McCain's writing buddy. They passed McCain-Feingold to destroy the United States. John McCain should retire right now, pull out of the race, or go and open up a Ted Kennedy souvenir shop. Dianne Feinstein, this is the only Democrat that didn't vote to burn the flag, but she voted to kill kids. Senator Graham, he was in charge of the Intelligence Committee during 9/11. And they have his picture up there, and underneath it, it says, here's Dopey. He's also a baby killer and a flag burner, and he was in charge of protecting the country. Harkin from Iowa. Harkin, the Herald Angels ain't singing about this guy. Hollings, a Democrat from South Carolina. He's gone. He's replaced by his son, Senator Graham. Yeah. Hutchinson, K. Bailey Hutchinson voted to kill kids. How's that? A Republican from Texas. Daniel Inouye, a war hero, votes to kill kids and burn the flag that covered the coffins of the Nisei Battalion in World War II. Now, why would a guy from Hawaii who served his country honorably vote to burn the flag and vote to kill kids, as did another Hawaiian war hero, Senator Rakaka from Hawaii? You know why? Because once you join the party de la muerte, you vote party over country. Your soul is gone. Jeffords, communist from Vermont. Johnson, Democrat from South Dakota. I feel sorry for the Dakotas. I think they should pass a law in the Dakotas. Only the Sioux Indian people can vote. Kennedy from Massachusetts. Well, you know where he is now. He's in boiler number 3. Kerry from Massachusetts. So, you know what his name is on the internet? Lurch. They call him Lurch. I call him Johnny Bighead. There's Cole, a Democrat from Wisconsin. A lot of these guys are gone. Did Mary Landrieu get kicked out finally? Or did she make it? She also votes to kill kids. Frank Lautenberg. He was on ice when they had to get rid of Torricelli the Torch because he was stealing too much money. And so they forced him out, and they... And he walked off the stage with $5 million in his war chest. And they said they took Lautenberg off of ice, you know, and they made an exception for him. He can only vote when there's no sunlight. And they brought him in to replace the torch at Torricelli. They call him the torch because he voted to burn the flag. And he walked off with $5 million of the Democrat Party's war chest. And they said, you have to give that to Lautenberg. And he said, no, I don't. And they said, you better. And he said, no, I won't. And they said, okay, we'll just get another $5 million from the tax suckers. Leahy from Vermont. They call him Leaky Leahy. If you want to know what's going on in government, ask his barmate. Levin. I call him Carlos the Jekyll. Levin from Michigan. He's retiring. See, they're all getting out now because they know that the country's almost broke. This one really gets me. Connecticut sends nobody good. Joe Liverwurst. This guy is the ultimate con man. He has the Republicans licking his boots. He's an Orthodox Jew. And he votes to burn the flag and he votes to kill kids. Now, what is he the keeper of? The three commandments? Thou shalt not kill kids. Lincoln from Arkansas. Mikulski from Maryland. Murkowski from Alaska. Murray. That's Patty Murray. I like these women all voting to kill kids. Democrat from Washington. Nelson, that's squinty eyes. You know why his eyes are squinty? Because when they bayonet the babies on a sunny day, the light bounces off the metal. And he was also at the door to pull the feeding tube on Terry Schiavo. Him and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Moran, all of the culprits, man, all of the culprits. Reed from Rhode Island, he's still in power. He's an evildoer. He also voted to burn the flag. They vote party over country. Whatever the law is that the Democrats say they want to pass, they all have to vote. Rockefeller from West Virginia. Sarbanes from Maryland. Schumer from New York. I got a picture of Schumer standing in front of a gas pump. And there's a sign with an arrow, and it's pointing right to his head. And it says, self-serve. And that's what he's doing. Olympia Snow. So the two Cauldron sisters voted to kill kids. Arlen Specter. He's gone, too. He's a Republican. But he voted with the Democrats to burn the flag. But the one that you don't know who voted with the Democrats to burn the flag is Match McConnell. He voted with the Democrats to burn the flag. And you know who else did too? Fred Thompson, the conservative. Stevens, Republican from Alaska. Warner, Republican from Virginia. And Wyden, Democrat from Oregon. 52 senators voted to bayonet a baby in the womb. When they voted to burn the flag, they said it was freedom of speech. Go dig up George Washington and ask him what he thinks. It is really sad. Okay, being that we're dealing with pretentious people, I'll play you the Duke of Dubuque.
I'm the Duke of Dubuque. I lose that name. Understood that my credit is no good, no good, no good. I'm the Duke of Dubuque. And if you don't believe me and tell me it ain't true, I've only got one answer. That answer's much to you. For now, or it was, I must write the zeros off. I'm the Duke of Dubuque. I'm descended from the Romanovs in Russia. In the books, my father was Tsarin's Russia. But he sailed away one day to the state of Iowa.
And that's how you find me in the USA. I'm the crackers, I'm the cheese. Yeah, call them Motown if you please. Yes, I'm the Duke of the Duke. Yeah. No pork chops, no gravy for me. Some leg bones and black eyed peas. Yes, I'm the Duke of the Duke.
And if you don't believe me and tell me it ain't true, I've only got one answer. That answer's not for you. Boy, now, what to do? Can you spare a buck or two?
I'm the Duke, Duke of the Duke. That's it, that's it, that's it. But that's it, that's it. Yes, I'm a Duke of you.
One of the greatest tactics that the Democrats use is they pull on your heartstrings before they eat your heart out. And I'll give you an example. You see all these children coming up from South America through Mexico, and the Democrats will hold up a little baby and say, how cruel the Republicans are. They won't let these children, give them sanctuary. These are the same Democrats that won't allow one Catholic nun from Iraq to come in and speak to the Congress, because she's going to tell them about the atrocities that the Obama tribe is committing in the Middle East. They're holding up her visa. They just gave in, but they've been stalling her. So beware of people who show compassion and have no compassion in their hearts. I found this blog I did February the 7th, 2012, and it's called Why Obama Can't Take On Syria. His SEAL costume is at the dry cleaners, and his snorkel is broken. Romney can't beat Obama. He's another McCain. How's that for being a prophet? Okay. So then I have a picture of Nancy Pelosi. She's sitting around an Ottoman table with Bashar al-Assad. Do you know that when she took power in the Congress, the first thing she did was she broke the Air Force's chops, demanding a bigger plane because she said she had to fly every day back to California. I don't know, it was every day, maybe every other day. Okay. And so the Air Force gave her a bigger plane. So what's the first thing she does with the bigger plane? She loads it up with a $40,000 worth of liqueurs. She takes 41 Democrats, packs them in there, in the plane, and they all fly to Syria to schmooze Bashar al-Assad because they're trying to undermine President Bush's war on terror. Yeah. And she's not the first one. Before Bush pulled Saddam out of the spider hole, three Democrats went to lick Saddam's sandals. A guy named Banya, a guy named Thompson, and a guy named McDermott. All Democrats, and they flew over to see if they could get some money before Saddam got overthrown, and then there would be no gifts coming, and Saddam wouldn't see them. And in my book, I have a picture of two of them talking to a lower level official. I have a picture of it, and under the caption, I put my own caption under the picture, and it's one Iraqi talking to another Iraqi in Arabic, and the translation reads, "Look, Najee, these are the American bastards that came here for a shakedown. And they didn't even ask about the one American that we have in prison." And it was believed at that time that an American pilot, his name was Spiker, was shot down and being tortured in Saddam's prison. But don't worry about it. If you get shot down and tortured in the Middle East, Obama won't come for you. Just read the Edict of Benghazi. So I got a picture of Nancy Pelosi. She's talking to Bashar al-Assad. And I start to say Obama took out two-gun Gaddafi. He did not need a cruise missile to stop a Libyan taxi cab. All he had to do was holler, "Taxi," in Arabic. You know what it is in Arabic? Taxi. So you can call taxi. You can say, "Look, I'm talking Arabic." And Bashar is saying to Nancy, "You see, Nancy, you vote to kill children. I killed them all. Are you going to cut the ribbon at my new IED factory with the Iranian copper lugs? If the screams of the American troops having their legs blown off and their faces burned bothers you, I can close the palace windows." Begged her not to go and lick the feet of Assad. Her reply was, "I needed a bigger jet plane. I am bringing 40 demo camos with me, including Denis Kucinich." And the bar was stacked with expensive brands of haram juice. Then I have another picture of Bashar al-Assad, and he's with Jimmy. We don't need that embassy in Carter. And Bashar is saying, "Jimmy, is it true you don't sell peanuts to Jews?" "No, that is not true. Some of my best friends are Jews. Yasser Arafat, Ahmadinejad, and Sheikh Khalid Mohammed." It gets worse. Meet Senator Bill Nelson, who was the precursor of Uday Pelosi, preparing her way to Damascus. He went there first to set the deal up. And Bashar al-Assad, they're all sitting around the same. He always, this picture of opportunity is always around the Ottoman table. And Bashar is saying to Bill Bain at the Babies Nelson, "Bill, I see you are a devout Christian. You voted to burn the American flag and to bayonet babies in the womb. I understand you like to pull life support tubes off people in comas. We are the same. We are both Christian." Okay, I'm going to jump and we're going to tell you what the Democrats got to do to atone for their sins. They got to change their evil ways.
You got to change your evil ways, baby, before I stop loving you. You got to change, baby. And every word that I say is true. You got me jumping and running all over town. You got me sneaking and peeping and running you down. This can't go on. Lord knows you got to change, baby. You hanging out, baby, with Gene and Joan and a who knows who. I'm getting tired of waiting and fooling around. I'll find somebody who will make me feel like a clown. This can't go on. Lord knows you got to change. When I come home, baby,
I have another picture. It's a classic picture. It's Saddam. I was going to call him Saddam. Obama, Bin Laden, Bin Lenin. He's greeting the assorted king Abdullah, and he's bowing. And the caption, and he's bowing, and all of the other dignitaries from other countries, including the guy that was the head of France, a Japanese. Head, a British head, and they're all laughing. They're all laughing at Obama. And Obama is curtsying. And a caption I put underneath was, "I can't kneel, my knee locked up. Can I get the Mr. T starter kit? Do I get one for every country I betray? Don't worry about the pipeline. We killed that already right after we wiped out the Gulf Coast. Can we get a DNC headquarters in Damascus so I can share the country with my allies, the Russians and the Chinese?" And he's got a picture of getting a big gold medal. That's the Mr. T starter kit from King Abdullah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what's going to happen? We're going to lose our country. While we're worrying about 2 ounces in a football, Pamela Geller inciting ISIS to come kill innocent Americans. Maybe they'll kill some that aren't so innocent. Don't get me started. We're going to self-destruct. Obama has destroyed the military. He's destroyed the morale of the military. He is creating a racial divide in the country. We were more homogenized racially in the 1950s than we are today. And that was before Selma. Obama is the great divider. And his party of death is doing everything in their power to make sure that they go communist. So what's the end result? The end result is America is going to be the big loser. And once you lose your country, you don't get it back. Ask the Irish. It took them 500 years to get their country back. And there was a beautiful documentary on today, and I never knew Irish history. But apparently, Oliver Cromwell, he totally destroyed the Irish people for 500 years. I think it was 1653. In 3 years, he completely destroyed the Irish people. Killed everybody. Man, woman, child, burned the churches. And, he's in boiler number three now with Ted Kennedy. Yeah. Okay, so now having said that, that's what's going to happen to us if we're not careful. We're going to lose everything we have. We are going to become fool's gold. And one day you'll look back and you'll regret that we weren't paying attention when the communists were dividing up our country. And you're going to suffer the lament of the little old Irish woman who used to have four green fields.
What did I have? Said the fine old woman. What did I have? This fine old woman. I had four green fields, each one was a jewel, but strangers came and tried to take them from me. I had fine strong sons, they fought to save my jewels. They fought and they died, and that was my grief, said she. Long time ago, said the fine old woman. Long time ago, this fine old woman did say, there was war and death, plundering and pillage, my people starved by mountain, valley and sea, and their wailing cry, they reached the very heavens. My four green fields ran red with their blood, said she. What have I now, said the fine old woman. What have I now, this proud old woman that said, I have four green fields, one of them in bondage, in strangers' hands. They tried to take it from me, but my sons, they have sons as brave as were their fathers, and my four green fields will bloom once again, said she. Will bloom once again, said she.
You hear people talking, they're anti-religious. Oh, the Irish paid a terrible price. I often wondered, I said, even though they were starving, they were surrounded by water, couldn't they go down and fish in the ocean? And in this documentary today, Cromwell pushed them away from the coastlines and pushed them inland. So they couldn't even crawl down in the dark of the night and try and get a fish. And when he got finished, 80% of Ireland was in Protestant hands, and 20% was all that was left. And it was at the same time that the Irish was sold off as slaves. And many of them, when they did the documentary, they painted it in a real nice manner. They said, yes, so many thousand were sent to the Caribbean. They were exiled to the Caribbean. But what the guy didn't say was that they were sold for £5 versus selling a black man for £30. And they were sent to the Caribbean. And they were mated with the black slaves because then they could get £10 for a mixed slave. So I think the population at the time that they sold off the Irish was 1.5 million. And they sold off 1 million. And there are sad songs. That's why you see when you see an Irishman drinking, he might have good cause. there's a song called Skibbereen. And if you hear it, it'll tear you right up. Oh, Father dear, I often hear you to sing of Erin's Isle. Her valleys green, her woodlands rude and wild. They say it is a lovely place wherein a prince might dwell. Well, why did you abandon it? The story to me tell. My son, I love my native home with energy and pride. A plague came over all the land. My sheep and cattle died. And he was burned out of his house. And his wife died in the winter snow. And you were only 2 years old. And feeble was your frame. I could not leave you with my friends. You bore your father's name. You bore your father's name. And look at the problem we got in Baltimore. You bore your father's name. I could not leave you with my friends. Because you bore your... I wrapped you in my coat of more. And into the night unseen, I heaved a sigh and bade goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. That was the town he was from. You bore your father's name. And what are we here today? 500 years later, what are we here today? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Son of a gun. Okay. I'm going to do a tribute to the American troops. Is there anybody else? But first, I'll play you a little Wahira. Oh, and speaking of Wahira, Obama likes to scoop up all the Latinos and sweep them into the camp, like telling the Latinos that they're just like the blacks. They're being hated and prejudiced against. You see, they take all the splinter groups. You're gay. Oh, well, the white man doesn't like you either. Oh, you're what? You're from Moldavia. You better get into our camp. Latinos ain't going to buy it. That story is wearing real thin. And you want to know why? Because they get up and go to work in the morning. I'm dedicating this this poem by Rudyard Kipling to the American warrior, to all those guys out there who put their lives on the line, that one half of 1% that keeps this country from being destroyed and keeps us from going to concentration camps and keeps us from having our throats cut. The name of the poem is Tommy, and it's about the British. Rudyard Kipling loved the British fighting man, and he always felt that they never got a fair shake. Rudyard Kipling was a real good poet. And if you want to Google Rudyard Kipling, you know what he talks about? The war in Afghanistan back in his time. And he talks about the river. It's very interesting. He also wrote Jungle Book. And he's got a lesson on how to be a man that he reads to his son. And it's very good. Savage usually reads it about once every 2 months. Don't lose the common touch. Walk with kings, but don't lose the common touch. It's a very good poem. But this one is dedicated to the average GI. I went into a public house to get a pint of beer. The publican's up and says, "We serve no redcoats here." The girls behind the bar, they laughed and giggled fit to die. I outs into the streets again, and to myself says I, "Oh, it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and Tommy go away. But it's thank you, Mr. Atkins, when the band begins to play." When the band begins to play, they got to roll out and march, and they're going to war. "The band begins to play, my boys, the band begins to play. Oh, it's thank you, Mr. Atkins, when the band begins to play." I went into a theater as sober as could be. They gave a drunk civilian room, but had none for me. They sent me to the gallery or around the music halls. And when it comes to fighting, Lord, they'll shove me in the stalls. For it's Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy wait outside. But it's special train for Atkins when the troop is on the tide, when they're shipping out. The troop ship's on the tide, my boys. The troop ship's on the tide. Oh, it's special train for Atkins when the troop is on the tide. Yes, making mock of uniforms. How many do it in this country? All the cowards, all of the communists that won the Vietnam War in Chicago, San Francisco, and New York, who sold out their country. Yeah, they got Judas Iscariot challenge coins. Yeah, making fun of, yes, making mock of uniforms that guard you while you're asleep. It's cheaper them uniforms and their starvation cheap. It's five times better business than parading in full kit. Then it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and Tommy owes your soul. But it's thin red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. The drums begin to roll, my boys. The drums begin to roll. Oh, it's thin red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. That's formation and march on out to the battle. We ain't no thin red heroes, nor we aren't no blackguards too. But single men in barracks, most remarkable like you. And if sometimes our conduct isn't all your fancy paints, while single men in barracks don't grow into plaster saints, while it's Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy fall behind, but it's please walk to front in front, sir, when there's trouble in the wind. There's trouble in the wind, my boys, there's trouble in the wind. Oh, it's please to walk in front, sir, when there's trouble in the wind. You talk of better food for us and schools and fires and all. We'll wait for extra rations if you treat us rationale. Don't mess about the cookroom slops, but prove it to our face. The widow's uniform is not the soldier man's disgrace. For it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and chuck him out, the butte, the brute. But it's savior of his country when the guns begin to shoot. And it's Tommy this and Tommy that and anything you please. and Tommy ain't a blooming fool. You bet that Tommy sees. Very good. Very good. And we say we need a hero. I got to cut it short. I'm running out of time. But somebody sent me this. I'm missing page one, but I'll read you 2, 3, and 4. He's talking about Obama. Yes, he told us in advance what he planned to do. Few were listening. The following is a narrative taken from a 2008 Sunday morning televised Meet the Presslings. Senator Obama was asked about his stance on the American flag. General Bill Gin, a U.S. Air Force retired, asked Obama to explain why he doesn't follow protocol when the national anthem is played. You know the famous picture of him holding his crotch when they were playing the national anthem? The general stated to Obama that according to the United States Code, Title 36, Chapter 10, during the rendition of the national anthem when the flag is displayed, all present except those in uniform are expected to stand at attention facing the flag with the right hand over the heart, or at the very least stand and face it. Now get this. Obama replied, as I've said about the flag pin, I don't want to be perceived as taking sides. Taking sides! There are a lot of people in the world to whom the American flag, including me, is a symbol of oppression. Who oppressed you, Bammy? The anthem itself conveys a warlike message. You know, the bombs bursting in air and all that sort of thing. You can go to YouTube and Google Michelle Obama, all this for a flag, and see what comes up. They caught her saying, all this for a flag. She was at a 911 ceremony. Are you ready for this? Obama continued, the national anthem should be swapped for something less parochial and less bellicose. I like the song I'd like to teach the world to sing. Or I'd like to buy the world some Coke. How about that one, Obama, when you're doing roofies? If that were our anthem, then I might salute it. In my opinion, we should consider reinventing our national anthem. Why not? You're reinventing the country. As well as redesign our flag. He did that with his Obama logo. And he wanted his logo on Air Force One. And he had it up. They had to take it down because somebody threatened to crash the plane. To better offer our enemies hope and love. He's going to offer our enemies hope and love. Him and Lurch at the Iranian negotiations. But they can't get one Marine out of Iran. They couldn't get four Americans out of Benghazi. Now they can't get one Marine out of Iran. And he left the guy in Mexico to die. Yeah, but he turned loose 5 Taliban governors, 5 heads, 5 commanders, 1 head of the Taliban CIA. He turned them all loose. He traded them for Bo Birdcall. It's my intention, while he groped his mother, it's my intention, if elected, to disarm America to the level of acceptance of our Middle East brethren Yeah. If we as a nation of warring people, we're a nation of warring people, conduct ourselves like the nations of Islam, where peace prevails, perhaps a state or period of mutual accord could exist between our governments. Can you believe this guy? When I become president, I will seek a pact of agreement to end hostilities between, I say, release everybody in Gitmo and put Obama and the Democrat Party there. Between those who have been at war in the state of enmity and a freedom from disquieting oppressive thoughts, we as a nation have placed upon the nations of Islam an unfair injustice, which is why my wife disrespects the flag, and she and I have attended several flag burning ceremonies in the past. He told you what he was going to do. You elected a communist. A dyed-in-the-wool communist. And I don't blame his black side. I blame his evil white side. His Democrat Party side. Of course, now I have found myself about to become the president of the United States. And I have to put my hatred aside. What a break we got. I will use my power to bring change to this nation. And bring slavery back. Only this time, it'll be multi-racial. And offer the people a new path. My wife and I look forward to becoming our country's first black family, half black. The evil white side is still with you. Indeed, change is about to overwhelm the United States. Oh, buddy, did you do it? You reached all of your goals. So, having said that, we will do a little mambo, long hair mambo. Okay. I'm going to read you this. I'm going to tell you a little story. And this is an obituary. Just to let you know that when you hear people using the word as secularist, atheist, they're really saying communist and God haters. And the God haters in this country are going to erase his name and continue to worship the hammer and sickle and the devil. And that's my opinion, and it's based on fact. And I'm going to give you one example right now. A woman in her 90s, she passed away. And her daughter was asked by the local newspaper to write her obituary. So the daughter wrote the obituary, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to sanitize it, and I'm going to read it to you. This woman who passed away was a saint. She was a modern-day saint. And there are many in this country that get no recognition. Only God sees them. This woman was born in Manhattan. She was the youngest of seven children. This is the obituary. And then they named the parents. And then she married, and they named the husband in 1938. And resided in the Washington Heights section of Manhattan until moving to Staten Island in the 80s. She was the mother of two children, her daughter and a son who died at 22 years old. And in addition to her daughter, she is survived by her son-in-law, her four grandchildren, her grandson-in-law, and great-grandchildren, and they named the three grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She was an avid swimmer, a gifted cook and homemaker. She enjoyed her part-time work and co-workers at Morgan Guaranteed and Trust. She enjoyed getting together with friends at a local senior citizens club, taking trips with her family, which included many nieces and nephews, and visiting with her grandchildren. This is pretty much a standard obituary, as you can see. The last line tells it all. She was tenderly cared for by friends, family, and a special staff at a Catholic nursing home. A very special staff at a Catholic nursing home. Here's the last line. She was welcomed into heaven on Palm Sunday. The newspaper wouldn't allow the last paragraph to be entered. No mention of the nursing home and no mention of being welcomed into heaven on Palm Sunday. And that's what's going on in your country today. Every day you lose a little bit of freedom. Every day. So, my time is up. That's our show for tonight. And I want to send this one to my grandson. I'm going to close with this. This is another poem. It's called If by Rudyard Kipling. I should do a tribute to that lady who was in that obituary. But I'll catch up.
You know what pitch and toss is? It's a game the kids play. It's played with a coin on a stick. And you flip, it's like flipping a coin, but they use a stick. And that's called pitch and toss. And I guess you call heads or tails. And the reason that I'm telling you that is because I'm about to read you a poem. And the poem was written by a guy named Rudyard Kipling. And he was a great writer. He's the guy that wrote Jungle Book. He wrote poems called Barracks Ballads. And he loved the common soldier. He was British, and he loved the British soldier. And he wrote things like Gunga Din, Thin Red Line of Heroes, which is a poem about how the soldiers are taken for granted. And they're paid very little. and they're spit upon and looked down upon, except when it except when the drums begin to roll, as he would say. He also wrote a poem called If. I'm going to read it to you. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings, and risk it all on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling also wrote a poem called Come Ye Back to Mandalay, which Frank Sinatra had a hit song with. And he also had a poem about Kabul in Afghanistan. And if you read that poem, you would realize what a great job our warriors did. Alexander was not that great. Alexander got stomped in Afghanistan, and when he left, he was Alexander the Grape. I'll talk to you, boys and girls.
We're going to do a tune for all the mothers. We're going to do a tune for all our loved ones who are gone. And wishing you a happy Mother's Day.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift.